Thank you very much, Russells. Take your Bible and turn to 119, Psalm 119. Verse number 1, Psalm 119. Anybody that did not get a worksheet, slip your hand up and they'll come around and give you one. There'll be a few probably. All right. Psalm 119. I am going to kind of begin a series here on this psalm. Psalm 119, of course, is the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. Now, guys, if you were over there with us yesterday, I didn't know he was going to preach two messages out of Psalm 119, but he did. I think we're good. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible. We'll be all right. And I think it'll be good for us here. But I had already decided Psalm 119, except for like two, maybe three verses, every verse specifically mentions the Word of God in some way. And Psalm 119 is almost exactly in the middle of the Bible. Actually, the middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118, number 8, is better to trust in the Lord and to put confidence than it is to put confidence as man, which is right across the page. That's the middle verse of the Bible there, but if I remember right. But Psalm 119 is a series of short poems within one context, one large poem, or maybe a series of verses. You'll notice that there's sections of 8 verses, and each one has a title. And the titles, you say, are funny little words. You got Aleph and Gimel and Beth and He, and what are those? Those are the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. And so there's one for every. Is that right, Nathan? Am I saying that right? Okay. And if I remember right, if I'm told that every verse in that particular section begins with that letter. So every verse from verses 1 through 8, begin the first letter of each verse begins with a Aleph, okay? And which I guess would be their A. And so and then you got the next 9 through 16 and 17. So they all begin with those letters. And it's amazing how it all works together. Of course, God is amazing. He can do amazing things. You're kind of saying that, you know, the Jesus is the Word of God. He's also the Alpha and the Omega. Of course, that's not Hebrew, that's Greek. But he's beginning and the end. He's everything in between. And so is the Word of God. It's everything that we need. And you may say, well, is it really? You don't say there's everything. It really is. Amen. It really is. And So who would have thought the message this morning would have come out of the Bible? But there it was. And so we're going to do a section. We're going to do a section of 8 verses at a time. And we'll see how far we go. Now, again, our other men will be doing some preaching from time to time. But when I'm up, we will be working in here. But give us some variety. And I think the Lord, he always seems to put everything together at the right place at the right time. So we'll be just fine. So let's read the first 8 verses of Psalm 119. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Our theme this year, and you say, well, back to that, yeah, is get the vision. And the vision is equated, well, where there is no vision, the people perish. The second part of that verse is, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The vision is equated with the law of God. The law of God is the rule book for life. Now, these are the rules for living life, if you're going to live it successfully. This is the vision that the Lord wants us to have in life. Now, Once again, and not to be mean about this, I feel that many Christians could give out the vision if they knew the vision and understood it better. The more you understand it, the more you think you'll be willing to give it out. In fact, it gets to a point, not because sometimes I think when folks try to win somebody to the Lord, or I think some folks try to teach them the ways of the Lord, they're almost trying to convince themselves as much as they are trying to convince the person, the other person. This person probably needs the Lord, and I don't know. I just think sometimes they don't know the Word of God or well enough, or believe it well enough. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God, to really be able to present it to somebody else in an impactful way. The law of the Lord is not all that complicated. What seems to make it difficult is that we're not always willing to obey it. And we're not always willing to believe it. And we in our intelligence think, well, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's not going to work. But if it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. We don't always believe it because I think it goes against our natural inclinations. But faith goes to hearing by the Word of God. So I want us to have a clear vision, which is the Word of God, the clear vision of the Word of God, so we can easily convey that vision to others, so that both we and those around us will not perish in sin for the lack of the vision. Now, if we're not diligently keeping the law and encouraging others to do so as well, it kind of makes us wonder if we truly believe it. Brother Nathan again was talking about that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Psalm 119, being the longest chapter of the Bible, the theme of the psalm is the Word of God. And there's some aspects of the Word of God that are presented in these verses, depending on the specific purpose the Lord has for the Word of God at any given moment. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right to this. Father, thank you for your Word. You didn't leave us helpless. And Lord, we don't have to be left ignorant. The Word is there. We need to take it, take advantage of it, and use it. Lord, teach us some things here in the next few weeks, as we delve into these passages. May we see your Word and see ourselves in it, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. These are some great things here. So Lord, I pray you teach us, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Number one, the first thing I want to do with you is I want to give you some descriptive names for the Word of God. Now, they all deal with the Word of God, but there's different names. I am called Sterl. I grew up being called Sterl. You can't call me Sterl. But I'm Sterl. I'm the youngest of my father, and he was Sterling, so they called me Sterl. Now, to some people, I'm Sterling. To some people, I've been Mr. Walsh. Some people, I'm Pastor Walsh. To some people, I'm Daddy. And to some people, she calls me Sterl. I'm the hubby, you know. Sometimes she calls me Sweetie. But they all mean the same thing, just different aspects of who I am. Now, same thing goes with some words here that talk about the Word of God. The Word of God is a great thing. It's an amazing thing. And I think sometimes it's not just a bunch of words. There's a lot of aspects I think sometimes we don't think about. So, number one, the word word. The word is used in the Bible here. And it means the arranged thought. The word, the blank you got there, the arranged thought. It's a matter discussed. It means to speak. It's a more general term for the thoughts expressed by God, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is really all things all together in one place. It's everything that He is. It's the expression of who He is, the Word of God. Now, sometimes the Word of God comes in different, there's different things, different aspects of the Word of God, but you have the Word of God. Letter B, we have the law. We have the law. Now, the law, the word law there means to flow as water. It was kind of strange, but it kind of means to lay it out, to flow right out, to point out, to direct. And especially means the Pentateuch. That's the word you're looking for, P-E-N-T-A-T-E-U-C-H, Pentateuch. What's the Pentateuch? That's the first five books of the Bible. That's the law of Moses. It's the law. It's the precepts. I talk about this as the rules for life. It's the law points out that which is right and that which is wrong. That's what the law does. That's why we don't, a lot of folks, well, here comes the law. You go driving down the road, and all of a sudden guy shows up in one of those brown vehicles that says state police on the side. Uh-oh, here comes the law. And we're so afraid he's going to point out that we've been doing something wrong. All of a sudden, ooh, you know, we kind of straighten up. I don't know about you, but I hate to say this. Almost, I don't care whether I'm doing everything right or not. And when I see the policeman, I take my foot off the gas. I just want to make sure I'm not doing something wrong. Am I the only one that does that? Okay, I guess I'm the only sitter here. So they say that, in fact, they did this over, it was over south of Hanover years ago, going from Hanover down to Maryland. They made this great big facade, is all it was, of a state police car. And they stuck it in the bushes. And it was this place coming out of Hanover where everybody was just gun it and head down the road. And so they weren't trying to be mean. They just wanted everybody to slow down. And so literally it looked like a real live car with a guy sitting in it. And they said for a long time, it really kept the speed down because they realized, they saw, oh, that's all the car. Take the foot off the gas. And they kind of coast through it. Now, after a while, they found out what it was. So it didn't do any good anymore. And they straight on by. But the law tells us, points out what's right and what's wrong. The word of God is the law. And not everything in the Word of God is the law, but the Word of God, the law is in the Word of God. And the thing I think a lot of folks don't like about the law is, again, it points out what's right and what's wrong. That's part of it. So many don't like the law because it draws a line over which we're not supposed to pass. The law says this is right, this is wrong, don't cross the line.
Well, let's not get legalistic about this.
The law says, here's where we're supposed to be. Letter C. We have the Word of God. We have the law of God. Again, it's all talking about the same thing. Letter C, testimonies. Testimonies. That means a witness. A witness. An account of the facts. To record the facts. It's a statement of truth. This is how it works. In the Word of God, you not only have the law, but you have some testimonies. The testimonies, you could say, some of the testimonies are the stories. We went through a testimony today. Told us a story. It gave us some story to think about. It gave us a witness of a principle he has shown us in the Word of God. It's not unusual to be able to tell a story. Like if you were to go tell the testimonies, the stories to the children, well, you can usually go to the book of Proverbs or Psalms and find one that takes that whole account, the whole lesson, and puts it in one nice little capsule and says, there it is. Okay? So you have those words, you have the wisdom, but then you have the testimony. It's a statement of truth, a statement of how it works. It's a story. It's a witness. Hey, this is what God says, blessed if you do this and cursed if you do this. And now here's an account, here's a testimony, a witness of what I just said. It's a testimony. Letter D, ways. Way, the road. Here it is, the course of life. The course of action that we're supposed to tread through life. This is our process through life. It's our course, how we're going to run life. In the Word of God, there's the law, tells us exactly what we're supposed to do. It gives examples of how those things work. But then it says, okay, here's a step-by-step way we're going to do this. This is how we live life. It's the ways. Walk in His ways. Here's how we do this, and here's how we do this, and here's how we do this. There's some things that aren't necessarily law, but here's how it works best if we'll do it. Letter E, precepts. Now, going through this, because by the time we get through Psalm 119, we'll have used all these words, almost all of them, before we get done this first section. So when you're looking at that verse, I want you to think about that idea as we look at the, as they use that word. He didn't just say, okay, I've already used that word once, let's use this one. Well, let's throw another word in there. No. Every jot and tittle in the Word of God is there. It will not pass away. It's written, it's God-inspired. He put it there for a reason. Every word, every little cross the T, every dot of the I, everything is exactly the way he wanted. And so when he used a certain word for the Word of God, he did that on purpose. And so they didn't just throw it in there just because they wanted to switch things up a little bit. The word precepts means a mandate. That's not as opposed to a woman date. It's a mandate. It means appointed action that is observed by the one that gave the direction. In other words, it's an action that is commanded and that is evaluated for its completion. The law of the Lord is here. Here's how we do it. A mandate is saying, all right, this is what you need to do, and you do it now because this is what I'm expecting out of you, and I'm going to kind of give you a grade on it. I'm telling you to do this, and I'll bless it. If you don't do this, this is going to be the course of action you're going to take. It's a mandate. It's not just the law, the rules of life, but it's saying, we're going to take the law, we're going to apply it here, and this is now how we're going to do it. Do you understand me? It's a mandate. Letter F. Statutes. Statutes. Now, that sounds an awful lot like the word statue. Okay? Most statues originally would have been made out of stone. A statute really means to mark in stone. The word you're looking for there is an enactment. E-N-A-C-T-M-E-N-T, enactment. It's an appointment that you can't get out of. It's a decree. It's the laws that are set in stone. There's no changing them or altering them or erasing them. Now, the laws are the law of God, I understand, but sometimes he talks about them as statutes. Thy laws are statutes. Okay, your law, this is the law, and by the way, it doesn't change. We're not going to, listen, in 4 years, we're not going to elect a new administration. Now we're going to change all the laws. So that's the way man's laws work. In fact, America, when it was built, Charles Finney, great evangelist, got saved by studying to be a lawyer. He got saved by studying the law. Was it Blackaby? Was that the guy's name? I want to say it was Blackaby. Blackstone. Blackaby. Black of something. Great law book that everybody knew. It was so full of the principles and the precepts and the statutes of the Word of God, which was called the common law. In other words, everybody goes by that. You may have a lot of laws around here, but there's some law that transcends all things. And they felt that was the Word of God, literally. Now, we don't live by common law. We live by statutory law. That means somebody else came along and decided it was truth, and now that's what true is. So that's why they'll say that we have a precedence in a court case. And so now they've decided, this could happen. They could decide that a Christian is unstable in all his ways, and he's got a neurological issue. He's got a problem. He's mentally unstable. And so if that's what it is, then that's now the truth. And anybody who propagates it is also off the rocker. They just decide that. That's statutory law. They decide this is law, then they pass it down. And all of a sudden, it's just as true as if the real law is true. In fact, they'll throw out the real law if the statutory law contradicts it. That's not good. You say, well, that's the way life is there. Well, that's government life. That's not Christian life. You're a Christian. Listen, God's still on the throne. We're still going to live by this law. It's better to obey God rather than man. If you can't obey both, you obey God. So a statutory law, statutes are an enactment. This is what we're going to do, and there's no changing it. It's set in stone. Letter G. Commandments. Commandments means to constitute, means to appoint. That's the word you're looking for. Appoint. Charged with a specific action. There's a law. This is what we're going to do, and there's statutes and what we're going to do. So he gives you a command. Here's what we are going to do right now. We're going to make a command. It's a slightly different twist on the idea. Letter H. Judgments. Verdict is the word you're looking for. A verdict. An assessment of the situation. A sentence. A decision determining validity and truth and value. To be able to see things as they truly are. In Proverbs, it says the book of Proverbs, the first chapter, it says it's going to teach us so that we have judgment, equity, discretion. He says we learn what's right and what's wrong and how to discern what's right and what's wrong. Knowing where to stand on an issue, where not to stand on an issue. It's all in the Word of God. Those are the judgments. The Lord has already decided what's right and what's wrong. We just need to figure, we have to learn what He says it is. Now, He tells us what's right and what's wrong, and then He tells us how we're supposed to enact that. And then He may give us specific commands, step by step, in what we need to do. And He may say, this is one of those that you cannot change. It's a precept. It's a mandate. We're to point it out, and I'm going to judge you on it. Different aspects of the same thing. Letter I. Ordinances. Ordinances. This is the same basic word as the word judgments, except that the judgment is what we decided, is what the Word of God has decided is right and wrong. An ordinance is a action. That's the word you're looking for there. Is an action to make sure we keep the judgments of right and wrong. Judgments are the decisions being made, and the ordinances are the action that is to be taken because of the judgments made. The judgments dictate the ordinances. For instance, we should stay away from the appearance of evil. So there's an ordinance, there's a rule, there are rules that we make in our lives to make sure that I don't cross that line and appear to be doing evil. It's kind of like what I've talked about before. One of the things that independent Baptists are kind of known for across the world, and it's a shame, and it's our fault. But independent Baptists are kind of known for just being hard-headed and just living by a bunch of rules. And then they lose their young people. Well, what has happened often is that somewhere, good women, someone have read the Bible, they've learned the precepts, the judgments, the ordinances, the statutes, the Word of God, and they said, we want to keep these things. And so they have created ordinances, rules of life, the way of God, in order to help them not break the conviction that they got from this, from the Bible. But what happens is another generation comes up, and we didn't go back and reteach the principles of the Word of God and why we have our convictions. What we taught was the ordinances, the rules of life. You do this, you don't do this. Why? Because we're Christian. Okay. Another generation comes along, and they're trying to teach their kids to do right, but they have no. What's the word I'm looking for? No foundation. No arms. No nothing to back up their system, because they don't have the conviction. They learned the standard, and they're trying to teach the standard because they think, well, it's probably right. We ought to teach our kids that too. But when the kids buck it, they don't want to do it. They don't know what to do about it. I don't know. They just won't do it. I was obedient, and I did it. Well, fine, but you grew up, and you kind of saw how it worked. But these kids are growing up. They have they're two generations from learning it. Now, it doesn't have to be. Every generation should be learning the principles. That's what I'm saying here. It's kind of the reason why I think that we've lost our influence and lost our nation is because we've been teaching religion. Well, I'm an independent Baptist. I'm not into all that false stuff, all that crazy, you know, empty motion. Yeah, we are. Now, it may be right to do, but a lot of folks don't know why. And so you know what happens? This generation says, why? And this generation said, don't backtalk me. I just said so. That's why. Now, that's real Christian. You see Christ all over that. No, we don't. And neither do they. And they're saying, you know what? Your opinion is no better than my opinion. And if you can't back it up, and you know, we're all too lazy to go find, but there's a few who'll go back to the Word of God and learn. And we call them first, and we call them first generation Christians all over again. And so the ordinance or things or rules of life that we set up to help us keep the conviction. But the fact is, we ought to know where the ordinance came from. But they're part of the Word of God. So the ordinances, here's number one, ordinance are the judgments activated. Ordinances are the judgments. We decide this is right and this is wrong. And the ordinance says, here's how we're going to make sure we're sticking in the right and not in the wrong. Ordinances are like personal standards of action. I know it's a little different message. You feel like you're at school tonight. But here we go. Number two, the vision of the Lord, the word of the Lord, here it is, brings blessings. Now, let's jump into this particular psalm. What I just gave you there was just to kind of set us up so we every time we see these words, kind of think about them. And if I were you, I'd kind of keep that little list of definitions nearby because it might not always give you the definition again. You can say, why do you use that word? Okay. All right. It'll just kind of give you a little different point of view, a little different perspective on that verse when you use these words. The vision of the Lord brings blessings. You know what? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is a vision, where the happy is he who keepeth the law. That's the last part of that thing. So happy is he. The word blessed really has the idea of being happy. Now watch me. The difference, letter A, the difference between having a blessed life or a not blessed life, cursed, is whether we live according to the law of God or not. That's the way it works. Well, there may be some things you'll laugh and have a good time, but to really have a happy life, you need to do it the way God said to do it. And I'm not saying pick and choose. You can't, listen, if I stop at two of the red lights on the way home, but not the third one, I might get home and I might not. I might have a happy drive, I might not. But if I decide to obey the law each time, you're going to find that I'm going to have a whole lot better chance I'm going to have a happy life and not go through life maimed if I obey the law every time. And when you obey God's law, he puts his blessing on top of it. Now, some months ago, probably years ago, when the Bible says God cursed them, now, the Bible says, remember, he says, he doesn't tempt man, nor is tempted of evil, nor he tempts man with evil. The word cursed of God, or he says he hated, he loved Esau and he hated, he loved Jacob and hated Esau. And all these things. The word hate there means to love less. The word curse simply means he takes his blessing off and we are left to the wiles of the devil, disposal of the world, for it to do to us as it pleases. Depending on where we are in the world and where we are in life, we may see more or less problems. But God doesn't say, cursed you, I'll zap you with a curse. That's not what he does. You read it. He doesn't do that. He's not willing that any should perish. But if you don't want him there and you don't want to follow what he's going to do, sometimes he says, well, go ahead. See what happens. And then we're left to see what the world throws at us.
Well, I can handle it.
No, maybe you can. And maybe you can for a while. Maybe you can't. And by the way, wouldn't it be a whole lot nicer if we knew exactly how to do it God's way? Because his way still works better. He says, blessed. Blessed are the, watch. Did I give you letter A? The law of God or not? The difference between living a blessed life or a not blessed life is whether we live according to the law of God or not. Verse 1. The Aleph, the A. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. It says, blessed, happy, having a good time, are the undefiled in the way. That word undefiled kind of means entire, complete, not digressing. It says the undefiled in the way. So there's a general way of living for God. Just like the Word of God is generally his way he's going to say for us to do. And then there's the way, a general, the way he wants us, the course of life. His is generally, now the way of life is to keep his commandments, to keep his judgments, to live according to his statutes and precepts. Okay, that's the way of life. Okay, so he says, blessed, happy is the guy that goes through life doing what God told him to do. That's just the general statement there. Do what God told him to do. You're going to be happy. You're going to be a whole lot happier. Listen, we raised our kids and said, do what you're supposed to do and you'll get to do what you want to do. You know, just obey. You're going to be a whole lot happier. We've told our kids that over and over again. Just do what you're supposed to do. You're honest, you'll be a whole lot happier. So, no, I want this. I'm not going to be happy unless I have this. Well, you're not going to be happy if that's all you're looking for. You're going to be happy until you do what you want. Now, I may be able to give you that down the road. But right now, what we need to do is this, and you're going to be a whole lot happier if you just do it. Now, watch. Blessed is the man who's undefiled in a way. In other words, he doesn't, he's in the way, but, oh, squirrel. You know, you see something over here, well, that looks interesting. Well, let's play with that for a little while. Well, I know we're not supposed to have it, but let's just a little. I had some parents in my, this has been years ago, in my office. And, they were very involved in the church, but they got mad at me because I was, at the time, and I still do, encouraging folks to come back on Sunday night. I just really feel like the more you know, the better off you're going to be. I mean, the fact is, can you live a good, blessed life without coming to church on Sunday night? I think you can. But here's the thing. I mean, in theory, I think we can. Here's the problem. Our little hearts and our minds are like sieves, and stuff leaks out. And I don't know about you, so I got some pretty good size holes in my sieve. And so I need to be reminded over and over and over and over and over again. It's kind of like that sieve in the sandbox, and you play it, and you're trying to keep it full, and it's coming out. You're trying to keep it full, you know, and it's coming out. But you keep pushing in there, it's going to be full. The problem is you stop, and eventually it runs out. We're like that. We've got to be constantly cleaning with the Word of God, putting the Word of God in there, reminding us. How many times you saw a verse that, well, I read that before. I thought that was really good. And then, you know, a year later, you read it again. Wow, it's like you learned it the first time. Have you ever been doing that? I'll write in my margin, you know, this and that, and read it. I think, wow, that's good. I'll put a note there, and I get ready to put it down. I wrote that in there 3 years ago. Same thing. Exact same thing. Same word. Like the Lord said, you forgot. Well, see, I don't want to put it in there and wait all week and have it almost run out, almost all the way run out before I start putting some more in there. I want to live in a full tank. My wife has a fit. She hates it. Every once in a while, My big old Chrysler uses more gas than her car. She can drive for years over that thing, not to put a gas in it. And mine takes a little bit more gas. And every once in a while, it'll go ding, it's red there, and it's just I'm nervous. Find a gas station. Well, so I got one that's got better price. I'm going to get down here. I haven't run out yet, but we're going to find one down here that's got better price. So every once in a while, just to make her happy, even though it's going to cost me 2 cents more a gallon, I'll stop someplace else and get gas. She's happier, all right, because I don't want to run. I want to run around on a low tank of gas. How many Christians are willing to run around on a low tank? I don't want to run around on a low tank. Listen, I want to make sure that I'm good to go, whatever happens. And so I want to be filled up Sunday night. Now, again, let me get back to my story. These folks, they were upset because I really encouraged them to come back to Sunday night. And this is what the parents said to me about their teenager. Well, you got to let them have some fun. Well, fine. Saturday. Friday. Have some fun. You know what? Some people have trouble with this. Do something Sunday afternoon. But I'll tell you what. Sunday night, I'm going to be back in church. Why? I don't want my sieve to run out. I don't want to say anything because I don't want to give it away. Let me just say this. That teenager who just needed to have some fun has put a lot of problems in their life. That's going to be a problem the rest of their life. We think we're doing our kids a favor, but I said, let them have some fun. Let them have some fun. Let them come to Wednesday night and have a good time with some other kids. They don't have to go out with some rough kids and have to say no to the alcohol, no to the drugs, and no to the sex to have fun. In fact, tell you the truth, that's not fun to me. I don't want to have to go through all that. So he says, listen, he's undefiled. That word undefiled means he doesn't step off the pavement into the mud anywhere. Not once, not a little bit. Stays on the road that he's supposed to be on. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He goes through life according to the laws of God. He gets ready to step on there. Oh, you don't. Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to go. Oh, you don't. Let's stay right here. He know. By the way, if you're going to walk in the law of the Lord, you got to know what the law is. When I came up here, one of the things I've never seen anywhere in my life, and I still have a problem, these stop signs that says stop, only stop if you're not turning right. If you're turning right, you keep on going. Oh, my soul. Bothers me. And in fact, Janet and I were over another side there on Whiteford Road. And there's a place there right around the Toyota place where you kind of come around and the road keeps on going. And I got there, and to be honest with you, I thought I saw something coming out of the side of my. By the way, if I was going to make a left-hand turn, I was supposed to stop. So there's our reason when you're supposed to stop. And to be honest with you, I hadn't turned my blinker on. I should have, but I hadn't. I stopped, and I thought if anything was going to come. In fact, I really wasn't totally stopped, but I was doing those kind of one of those rolling things. And a guy behind me blowing his horn because I had stopped because I was supposed to be going on around the bend, and most everybody else going to go around the bend. Now, what was I telling about that? You got to obey the law according to the law, whether it makes sense or not. We got to walk according to law. Let her be. Those that walk through life according to the law of the Lord and do not digress from it are blessed. The word blessed, watch this, ready? Means unhindered, not resisted. To have an easier road, thus a happy life, and has a life that they can actually enjoy. He says, listen, you follow my rules, the road's going to be easier. You get off in that mud, you're going to have a problem. You think you can handle it. Don't go over there. Yeah, but I just want to go over and help. No, don't go over there. I've told you this story, but I'll tell you again. When I was a kid, the neighbor boy and I, we lived next door, and we were playing ball, and the guy had plowed the field across the road. And back when they actually plowed, and he plowed, and we had a big rain, and it looked fine, but we had a big rain, and we were playing ball, and the ball went across the road and laid in one of those furrows where he had plowed. So he ran over, looked both ways, went across the road, got the ball. He bent down and picked up the ball, and as he bent down, his feet went down in the mud. I mean, down. Well, I was bigger than he was. I can handle this. So, no problem. I'll take care of it. So I went over there, and I thought, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pull him up out of there. So I went over there and, watched where I was standing. And I pulled him up, but I didn't pull him up. As I pulled him, I went down. I didn't pull him up, I pulled me down. There we both are. Stuck. And I'm going, but as I pull this one up, this one goes down further. So then I go, then this one goes down further. I'm working my way down. I'm not working my way up. Now the thing is, if I stayed on the pavement, I would have been okay. But I didn't. I digressed. How many times the Word of God says, this is what we do, this is what we don't do. Yeah, but I got this. Before long, we're stuck in the mud. We're being resisted. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. What does that have to do with this? Why would I go against God's word unless I'm too proud to obey it? You know what we're doing? We're getting off the course. We're now in the cursed spot. You know what that means? God is allowing all the winds to blow. He go ahead. The snares and the briars. We're doing our own little thing. Number two underneath that. The curse of God is really simply the lack of the blessing of God. I want the blessing. Blessed. Blessed by God are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Just that simple. We're not getting real far, are we? Number three. Believe God's word and take it to heart that it is true. Again, he starts with the word blessed in verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. He says, you're going to be happy. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be not resisted in life when you keep his testimonies. That word keep means, look, it says a guard to protect. Do not allow them to slip away from you or out of your hands in that you do not have to, you don't have them available to use. In other words, learn the stories of the Word of God. Keep the testimonies. If you keep the testimonies in that you obey them, you seek with a whole heart so that you're doing no iniquity. The word iniquity there is perverseness, distortion of the truth. Why did God give us the testimonies, the stories in the Bible? To help us understand the words, the principles, the commandments. So he gives us a story, gives us life application of here's how to do it. But here's what we do. And a lot of liberals have done this. Well, that can't be true. Don't tell me that he actually
part of the Red Sea.
Now, he said, guard the testimonies. He says, you keep them. Don't you let anybody steal them from you. Well, they're just Sunday school stories. No, they're not. They're history. Well, that doesn't make sense. That's because God did it. That's the whole thing. It's not normal. God did it. People want to come along and rip out the story of Jonah. You rip it out, you rip out all the principles it was teaching. You rip out the Red Sea. Listen, I'll tell you what. I've always been 2 or 3 years ago, I did a message called Maybe It's Just a Red Sea. The Red Sea's in life. Looks like you can't do anything. We're stuck. We're all going to die. But then God blows it open. It has to look impossible. And the fact is, isn't it a wonderful thing when God blows it open? He said, well, I don't know if he can do that. He did it at the Red Sea. But if I don't keep the testimonies and guard them as truth in my heart, I lose that part of my faith. The story of the Red Sea really means nothing. I remember the pastor I had when I was in high school and in the college. And he was actually a professor of college where I went, took up my first music degree. It wasn't a Christian college. It used to be something called a Christian college, but it's not now. It took the cross off the chapel and everything else. But I remember him saying, we were talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and this and that and actual facts the Bible gives. And he says, Sterling, that didn't happen. So I know you want to believe it. I know where you're getting it from, and you know, but no, that's not true. Well, I said, well, give us the exact number of how many. No, that never happened. You know what? I'm not going to be able to make it through if I'm not willing to believe what that book says, stories and all. He says, blessed, happy, that those who guard, protect, don't let anybody mess with my Bible. If he says he blew the Red Sea open and they walked across on dry ground, then he blew the Red Sea open and they walked across on dry ground. If it says that he brought the sea over and drowned all the Egyptians, well, okay, if he didn't blow it over, then somehow he drowned them in 6 inches of mud. No, it was all done just like he said it was. You want to be blessed. You say, well, I believe most of that stuff. No. Watch, he says, he keeps the testimony. He seeks him with the whole heart. If you what you said, Lord, I'm gonna believe it, hook, line, and sinker. And watch, they also do no iniquity. And that means they don't perverse. They don't get off the way. They walk in his ways. If he says, even though there's a Red Sea that I can't cross, but I'll take care of it, just keep moving this direction, then I need to just keep moving that direction. Well, God said, well, we're moving the right direction, I understand, but Lord, there's a blockade over here that I just can't get through. Don't worry about a blockade, I'll take care of the blockade. There's times in our life we see some person in our way, we say, well, I'll never be able to keep moving, and I can't do that because this and this and this will give you all the reasons why I can. We can't do it. But I know God says we're supposed to do this, but he said, we just can't, look at this and this and this. Well, then just keep moving that direction. It could be like it was when they crossed the Jordan. He's not gonna move the water until you put your feet in it. Okay. Red Sea. Come on. Open up. There's still water there. God, there's still water there. He said, walk. It's done. If that's what he says to do, then that's what we do. He blows a hole in the water and we keep on going. Blessed are they. Letter B. Knowing about the Word of God and determining to use it in every aspect of life is two different things. I'm going to keep his testimonies. Don't mess with my Bible because that's what I'm going to do. Knowing about the Word of God, determining to use it in every aspect of life is two different things. If you truly believe that what God is saying is true, then you will stop allowing yourself to get off track and wander into other things and instead go through the course of life, the way of God, just like God says and as he told us to do. If truth is to be found down the road, number one, then I'm not going to go down road number two. I'm not going to get off track, even if a little bit, because every little bit of distorting my path, every little bit of that path distorted, it's going to take me further from the truth, and further from the truth is further from the safety I have in the Lord, and further I am from the blessings. You might think I'm going overboard, but I'll tell you what, you can think all you want, and let me go ahead and follow him as close as I can.
Well, I think it's okay to drink, take a drink of beer once in a while. I'll watch this. I'm not going to take one, and I'll guarantee you I won't get drunk from it.
You think it's too picky? Fine, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to have a problem with it. I'm never going to go home and beat my wife in a drunken stupor or my kids. Never going to happen if I don't take the first drink. I'm never going to have a DUI if I don't do any drinking or drugs. I'm never going to cause my own hurt or kill somebody in a car because of it, or maim somebody or lose my own leg or whatever it is because of being drunk. Not going to do it. I'm never going to be drunk and in a drunken rage kill somebody. Not going to happen if I don't take that first drink. I don't want to get off. He said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and he deceived thereby is stupid. He said, it's not wise. If you're not wise, you're stupid. If you think you can handle this, you might, but you might not. Don't play Russian roulette with your life. Russian roulette with a bottle of booze. Don't do it. Number four, get serious about the Word of God. Get serious about the Word of God. The Word of God is not something to be taken lightly. Verse number four. Thou hast commanded, watch, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Thou hast commanded, he's given us a charge. He's made a rule, if you will, to keep, there's that word again, hedge, guard, protect, not allow anything to hurt it or change it or mess with it in any way. He's commanded, he's told us to keep, to protect thy precepts. The mandates. The set of laws that have been set down and established and put in stone. He says, he's commanded us to hedge about those precepts diligently. Now, you know, that's with hot vehemence, holy, quick to save it from destruction or change, quick to stand for on the Word of God, consistently, constantly, exceedingly willing to go overboard in your stance in support of the laws of God. You see these people say, this is the Word of God, don't mess with my Bible. Well, he's just kind of a fanatic. That's what he's saying. Diligently, these are precepts. This is what's going to give me a happy life. Don't you mess with this. And by the way, don't come in here and say, well, you can change this and change that, and it's okay, it'll be okay for your kids. Don't you dare tell my kids it's okay to mess with the Word of God. It's okay to change a little word here. And this, maybe let's just throw this verse out. We're not sure about this verse. Don't you mess with it. Because you're messing with their life. Every parent, you want your kids to be happy. So what am I going to do? If blessed is a man who keeps his precepts, then I want to make sure my kids are keeping the precepts. But they can't keep them if they don't know them. Or they're not sure they got them. His words shall not pass away. They're forever settled in heaven. Letter C, the Word of God is always the Word of God. You understand that? The Word of God is always the Word of God. Number one, truth does not change. Truth does not change. Watch. The effects of truth do not change. And number three, the consequences of circumventing truth do not change. They're there. I don't know how many you're going to get, but you're going to get them. There's always consequences. Number five, we've got to be done here. I know I'm getting long here. Number five, I want my life run by God's rules. I want my life run by God's rules. Verse 5 says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. If everything we've talked about right now is true, then our thoughts should be this. Oh, my soul. I want my ways. I want my life. I want what I do to be directed by these things that are set in stone. If they're set in stone, I don't want to fight. You ever try to fight a stone? Punch it and punch it and punch it. You're going to lose. That's why Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And you can either fall on the stone and let it break you so that you come to it as truth, or it will fall on you and crush you to powder. It's not moving. You might as well get in line with it. This is the Word of God. It's not going to change. The rules aren't going to change. Blessed is he who keeps it. So you might as well go ahead and get in line with it. He says, listen, my course of life, the things that I do, the things that I think, the moment by moment, they're the ways. Oh, that my ways were directed. Watch. Dictated. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. I want to have God as my dictator. Letter B. If the Lord runs my life, I will not make a fool of myself. He says, verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then, when my ways are being directed by his statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Let it be, if the Lord runs my life, I will not make a fool of myself. He says, then shall I not be ashamed, disappointed. Then where I won't look like a fool. When I have respect unto all thy commandments. Every one, not just the ones we agree with. Not just the ones we understand. And not just the ones we were going to do anyway. He said, you want to keep making a fool out of yourself and ruining your life? Let God dictate your life. Let him tell you what to do. How's he going to do that? It's in the book. Let her see. Let me say this first. I will not do stupid things when I am doing the right things. I will not do stupid things when I'm doing the right things. And God knows we're stupid. Do we? Let's see. I will be happy in life when I have finally learned to do right according to the Lord. Verse 7. All that we've learned. He says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. When I learn how to make good and right decisions, that's the judgments, right decisions, good and right decisions. When I learn how to make good and right decisions, I will be happy and will give you the glory for what is going on in my life. Righteous judgments. The right decision. I don't know what to do. Well, he told you in there. Where? Well, I know. Let's go find it. In fact, why don't we come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Friday for RU and see if we can catch some of these before the crisis shows up. Because sometimes you're put on the spot. You got to make a decision. Well, I'm not sure. And you're almost like we're flipping a coin. I don't want to live my life with Russian roulette and the flip of a coin. He said, if I keep his statutes in me, his commandments, live my life by what he's saying, I won't end up making a mess out of my life. Number six, I forgot to leave it empty. It's already there. The key to seeing God work in your life is keeping the statutes of God. Verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. He says, here's the deal. This is the deal he made. I do what you tell me, and you're going to stick with me. Now, why is that?
Well, he likes you better then.
No. You see, when I'm walking, you've seen me do this. When I'm walking on his path, I'm walking in the light, stepping in the light. That was a good song for us there tonight. Stepping in, when I walk in where he's walking, I'm walking in the light. When I step out of the light of the word, where he tells me to walk, I'm walking in darkness. I'm going to stumble. I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to get myself in trouble. So if I walk with him, I'm going to be blessed. He says there, let me say it one more time. I will keep thy statutes. So he won't forsake me. Problem is, do I forsake him? That's the problem. We get over here, where all of a sudden we find ourselves in the weeds someplace. Lord, where are you? Don't leave me here. What? Why'd you walk away? And he's over there saying, I was here all the time. I didn't walk away. You stopped walking in my way. You walk in my ways, you'll be exactly with me. There's no problem. I'll be right there with you. And you have every right to say, Lord, what's next? Just watch me. Just stick with me. You sure? I got this. But I tell you, when you're over here, first of all, you're not where he is, and you can't hear him when he says, that still small voice, I got this. You're not walking close enough to hear that still small voice. You got to wait for God to do something in your life you don't want when he says, hey! Wake up! What are you doing over there? Well, I don't know. I'm just going to get over here. Well, I kind of like it over here. Okay. Open up the pit there. Okay. Now you still like it? Get over here. Why do we do that? We're hard-headed. He says, I will diligently hang on to and work within the law of the Lord and see them as unchanging rules of life, cut in stone, and the Lord will vehemently not forsake me. When it says he will not forsake me utterly, that word utterly means not one bit. God's determined not to forsake you, not even a little bit. So if you feel forsaken because you were the one that wandered off, if I refuse to let down my guard on the law of God, the Lord will not let down his guard on me. When I'm doing what the Lord has commanded me, I'm where the Lord is, and thus he will not forsake me. I will sense his presence. Don't expect the blessing of the Lord if you're not willing to follow the Lord's rules of life. We're going to learn some more of those next time. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. A little long tonight, but thank you for speaking to us. May we live by your statutes and your precepts and your mandates and your commands. And be blessed. I want our folks to be blessed. I want them to have that blessing, and not only that, to be able to walk in that blessing and be able to pass that blessing on, that vision, the law of the Lord, to those around us. Heads are bowed.